It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. It is Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Thanks so much for being with us here, and it's a great day. I know the wind's probably been pissing a bunch of people off today, so why not sit back and have a beer and enjoy the evening? I am Tanner Schwint, live inside the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Fellas, it's going to be a good one today. Let's bring him in. Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Chad, how are you?
Fantastic.
That was no sarcasm at all, was it?
No, not at all. Actually, doing really good.
Good. I like to hear it. Dr. Michael Mosier, Rule 105, how you doing?
I'm fantastic, too.
Okay, I can feel the joy. I feel the joy. Joining us today as well, he'll be sitting in for the full hour with us. It is the head brewer at McClellan's Brewing, the one, the only. Anybody else got any adjectives for him? Okay, the one, the only, Graham Hurstwood. Graham, how are you, my friend?
Oh, wonderful. All the better for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in and drinking some beer with us tonight. It's been a while since we've been able to have you in face-to-face and,
yeah, well,
and sit and drink beer.
I do have a face for radio, so that's probably why.
But, why do you think we're all? Why do you think we're all here, man? We're all on the radio. Yeah, we can't do a TV show. We pitched it, and they're like, "You guys are way too ugly for that."
Yeah, so we need a special kind of lighting.
Yeah,
dark.
Yeah, with the lights off, I think is the only way that they would let us do a TV show. But we got a lot to get to tonight. We'll get to our beer 30 beer that Chad has brought in as well. Some big news that we're going to get to in just a bit coming out of the brewing world. But in this first segment, just want to take some time and talk with Graham and talk with these fellows about kind of the changing of the season as it is fall has been in full effect here. We're getting closer to winter, and let's have the conversation again. What are you brewing? What are you drinking at this point in the year? Because I've definitely noticed my drinking habits have switched a little bit away from some of those, you know, sours and stuff like that to more of the heavier type, darker type of beers. Doc, are you seeing that at Rule 105?
Yeah, we're seeing a little bit of slowdown in the number of sour sales per week or whatever. It's starting to get more of the stouts and the porters and the Scottish ales and stuff like that. The richer beers. I won't say they're darker beers. They're just richer.
What on a personal note, are you drinking more of those beers right now?
No, actually, I actually like a little bit of everything. So, yeah, it doesn't matter.
You're
to
Mr.
me.
Consistent. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me.
All right. All right. Graham, what are you? What about you? Do you play into the seasonal shifts?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, paler beers seem to be the go-to for summertime. We're definitely seeing our two biggest selling beers are historical IPA and a wee heavy. So the historical IPA tends to be more in the summer and springtime. Now it's autumn, leaves are falling. Sorry, fall for Americans, if you're listening. You might possibly be. But the wee heavy's coming back. We have a lovely historical porter as well. Recipe dates back to 1850s. That's really kicking in. A honey brown ale's going to come in soon, so that's quite good fun, you know. Those kind of beers, but for myself,
yeah.
I'll drink anything, anytime.
I like that. You say somebody slides a beer your way, it's going down no matter what.
Well, you know, it would be rude to say no, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be very rude to say no to a beer there. Chad, you're kind of the same. Are you the same? You just drink no matter what? Well, no matter.
Yeah, I drink whatever. Yeah, whatever's in front of me.
So I'm the only person here that switches up, you know, throughout the course of the year that style of beer, because I just can't do the porters during the summer. Not very often, anyways. I just can't do it. It has to be a little bit cooler for me.
Well, I used to think that way a lot until I noticed that people in our bar will just drink whatever they like, no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah.
If you're a porter drinker, they're going to come in and order a porter, whether it's the middle of summer or it's the dead of winter. So, and I guess I kind of just, you know, adapted that to my drinking as well.
I actually had a bit of an unfounded theory about that, and especially in U.S. drinking. I wonder if it's the influence of German brewing tradition, you know. There's a lot more seasonal beers in German style, and that's still quite influential in the U.S. brewing scene. So I wonder if that was something to do with it. Because, you know, for example, my friend Terence, he's from Jamaica. He drinks stout in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
You know, Jamaican summer, not Scottish summer, because that's not technically summer. But, you know, so it's, yeah, but anyway.
Just, I mean, you think of it, too, though, many of the richer flavored beers don't necessarily, they finish drier in some cases than some of the blonder ales and the paler ales. And so they could go any time of the year.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just, I'm very particular. I don't drink a lot of the darker, you know, heavier beers during the summertime. There's one. It's actually your beer that's the exception is your patio porter. Every once in a while, I'll be just craving that. But it's got to be like, hey, okay, there's a the temperature's dropped off a little bit, and I don't know what it is about that. I've got my constants too that I'll consistently order. But when it comes to craft beer, the majority of it is very seasonal for me in that aspect.
I will say this: when it gets towards fall and winter. And it could be just around the holidays, I guess. But I do tend to drink a little more higher alcohol content beers.
Yeah.
And that could be just, you know, because that's what we drink around Thanksgiving.
Because you got Christmas family coming into town.
Yeah, we have family coming to town. Or there's always some kind of special get-together that we're trying to get together, you know, do. And
yeah. So no, I can hear that for sure. What are you guys drinking out there? Drop us a text on the text line 888-530-0043. But for example, I mean, it was a couple Sundays ago. I was in at your place, Doc, and you know, I took some of the Eureka off your hands. You know, and that's just one that I wouldn't even think about touching during the summertime, but it was one of those days that there, we had some snowflakes fall and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's a, what is it, 16% ABV?
16.4, I think.
16.4 ABV Braggot.
And, so session Braggot, then.
Yeah, session Braggot. And still Braggot. And, yeah, it drinks more like a wine, and so I would think you'd want to pair it with some real heavy food or wait till it's super cold outside.
Well, I made the mistake of pairing the first bottle with the second bottle on that the other night. And, you know, I had a hell of a night. But yeah, I think it's interesting just to watch kind of the buying habits as they change around a little bit, too. Graham, what did you bring us today? I haven't tried this beer, but this is something new, right?
So, yeah, I started off doing an old ale that I wanted to age in bourbon barrels. It was only supposed to be Old Elk from Fort Collins Bourbon Barrels. They were kind enough to give me some because they're probably taking up too much space. So it was only supposed to be in there for 6 months, but COVID hit, so it was about a year, and now it's in tank, and we're going to bottle them off. So it's, well, I love it. It's, you know, it's taking on a lot of those kind of lovely leather and vanilla and woody flavors from the bourbon, but it's still got that kind of sweet maltiness from the old ale, particularly kind of more northern Britain, you know, Scotland, England, kind of old ales from that kind of region. So it's kind of boozy and warming, and funnily enough, for it's a 10% as well. So it's
right.
Another session ale.
You just, yeah. It just depends on how long of a session you're having here. It's the nose on it is, I love it.
Yeah,
it's exactly everything he just talked about.
Yeah, I get a lot of cigar kind of aromas and deep fruits, dark fruits and stuff like that. It's yummy.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's I'll lay claim to it. I wouldn't say it was anything to do with the bourbon barrels at all. It was all me. But yeah, it's I love that. So when I age my beer like this, I don't want to pick up any funk in any way whatsoever. So I do it in a cold store. So it did spend about a year trying to step around and these barrels were in the way. But it was worth it in the end. I loved it. I can't wait to get this into bottles. And
are you going to cask some of it too?
Well, if we are, we might have to reprime it. It's just add a little bit of sugar in there just to get it going. But yeah, I'd love to have a cask, but I think we'd probably have to have a pin, which is half the size of a firkin, which is about 5 US gallons, because this is definitely a...
It's a sipping beer.
It's a sipping beer, yeah. It's a... When I say session, it would be a very short session. Or you could have a nap.
Absolutely. This is a nightcap, for sure, but... It's remarkable to me just how smooth it is. You know, you get something that sits for this long, you know, and you never know what's going to jump out at you. But it's just, it's steady and solid the whole way through.
I think, yeah. I mean, one thing, if you're aging beer in any way whatsoever, in barrels or bottles or cans, any issues will be more exemplified the longer it sits there for. So you have to be very careful of that. So I was really happy when this came out. Overly excited, if you ask my wife. She kind of just stared at me going, it's just beer, husband. But, you know.
Yeah, she must not understand how good this beer is because it's very good. I think it's safe to say this might be the best thing that came out of 2020.
Well, I thank you.
Out of the COVID year, I think this might be one of the few positives that came out of it, right?
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it.
It can actually kill many viruses if you put it onto the virus.
Or at least make them quite happy.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll go completely dormant. You'll not need to worry about them.
You know, that'll be the next conspiracy theory coming out, is that you can kill COVID drinking this beer. And that might be one I might have to test out, though. If it does. I think this might be one that I pass around a little bit. But, well, thank you very much for coming to bringing it in. That's really, really good. When is that going to be bottled and stuff like that? Do you have a timeline kind of in place?
Well, hopefully we're going to start bottling next week. We're going to go over to a friend's brewery, Black Bottle, and borrow their bottling because we only have a canning line. And I just think this would be nicer in bottles. So I'm a bit old-fashioned that way. Mm-hmm. I like to have. So we'll have 12-ounce bottles and we'll distribute to friends and family. So
I like it. Well, I'm glad that we fell into that. We picked a good time to have Graham on.
So this is an old ale, and it's very similar in flavor in some regards to sort of like a barley wine.
Oh, yeah.
But I do taste a little bit more what I might call those molassesy or caramely flavors in this.
Yeah, I mean, well, a couple of places I picked up. One was I made the end gravity, so there's still a lot of sugars in there because I knew it was going to be sitting in barrels. I didn't expect a year, but 6 months, so I knew it would continue slowly ticking away fermentation-wise, so I wanted to keep the yeast happy rather than having a very dry beer, although it's got a bit of a dryish finish. And also it's picked up a lot of flavour from those lovely sweet bourbons, you know. So I just also want to make sure it cut through the alcohol a little bit. But there's alcohol sweetness in there as well, so...
Very well designed. Excellent design on this beer.
It was pure luck. I just chucked stuff into some hot alcohol.
I was going to ask, this is your brainchild. You've never done this before?
I've never done this one before. But, you know, I compare brewing to cooking a lot. You know, once you get to understand the ingredients and what they do, makes life a lot easier. And that's why having a good course like, you know, Dr. Mosher's there is a good idea for anyone's getting to brewing. I highly recommend understanding what you're actually doing.
Yeah, you know? Because there's a lot of bad beer, but this is not one of them. This is well done. So kudos to you, sir. Thank you so much for bringing it in. And Chad's session is over, but I think he's ready for another one. Let's bring this segment to a close. We'll come back on the other side. One of the biggest mergers. Yeah, there you go. Get that beer over to Doc or to Chad. When we come back on the other side, one of the biggest mergers in the craft beer world happening just today. We'll discuss it. It's Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary, weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're having some fun on a Wednesday evening. Thanks for being with us. It is Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. Hi, I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the Tavern of St. Michael Square, Dr. Michael Mosher, Rule 105 Brewing, and Graham Hurstwood, the head brewer at McClellan's Brewing Company. It was a year ago that McClellan's won the best brewery in Northern Colorado, the fan vote as fan voted, and that was a lot of fun on that as well. And I think you're just now picking up the awards today, so Chad dropped the ball on that, so I apologize about that.
Why is it? I've been telling you for a year.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it was Chad. It's Chad.
It was my fault.
The rest of them's Doc's fault for not getting it.
Oh, okay.
I had no control over it, but glad you could use that as an excuse to come and be here with us.
Any excuse.
We appreciate it, and on the day that just a little bit ago, it was announced that the parent company of New Belgium Brewing has acquired Bell's Brewery, merging two of the country's pioneering craft breweries under one umbrella. This is a big merger. This is a big merger. We talk about some of those key players in the craft beer world at that next level. These are two of the big ones that are now merging forces.
That's and they're different. Which is kind of going to be interesting on how they manufacture or continue to manufacture. Is New Belgium going to continue to just do its own and Bell's only with its own, and they just sort of operate under one administrative unit, or are they going to split resources and share? And that could really determine what happens with this company is moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And remember when this company bought New Belgium, that was their promise, right, is that they were going to leave things the exact same.
The
so
was, yeah.
I would imagine, right, I mean, I would imagine that that's probably what's going to happen, Chad.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounded like when I glanced over. You know, there's several articles out there talking about this today. It's the hottest news in the beer world.
It is.
But yeah, it kind of sounds like that, and it kind of sounds like one of the changes I did see is Bell's is going to kind of adapt New Belgium's, you know, self-reliant or zero carbon footprint.
Oh, really?
Model and employee run, you know, the whole model that New Belgium did with it, employee owned. So I think Bell's employees will look. Are kind of excited about that.
Yeah, so it sounds like more of an administrative model kind of merger rather than merging manufacturing capabilities.
A few of the articles I read, that's kind of the hint they gave. So.
What were your thoughts when you heard this come down, Graham?
Well, I mean, I know Flying Nathan from time spent in Australia, and they've been very good with Little Creatures. They've actually sharpened up that brand. So, and also I know quite a few guys and girls in the in New Belgium, and they're... Well, they're not complaining to me about afterwards. In fact, it seems that there's quite a hands off, but with advice kind of situation. So I think, but it makes sense. I mean, the brewing industry is like everyone just goes through cycles of mergers, acquisitions, then split off. So I'm not entirely surprised, especially because I knew Lion Nathan were looking to expand their portfolio. So I'm not shocked.
Yeah, and it comes after the Bell's Brewery founder Larry Bell. He announced the deal. He's wanting to go into requirement, as Graham mentioned.
Or retirement.
What's that?
You mean
or
retirement?
Yeah.
You said requirement.
You said requirement.
Requirement. Did I really? Session beer, folks. Session beer. What are you laughing at, Ryan? Ryan Kelly doing the production work back there. I see how it is. he's going into a retirement, not a requirement. He announced a deal with Australia's Lion Little World Beverages. Once the deal is complete, it will create the fifth largest craft brewery control group, Brewbound reported, behind Anheuser-Busch, Yuengling & Son, Molson Coors, and Boston Beer Company. So this puts them squarely in the thick of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see what all they decide to do with this. Both New Belgium and Bell's Brewery are production powerhouses. In 2020, the New Belgium brewed 975,000 barrels of beer between its facilities in Fort Collins and North Carolina, Denver and San Francisco. With two breweries in Michigan, Bell's produced 466,539 barrels, making it the sixth largest independently owned manufacturer in 2020, the BA reported. Quick quote here from New Belgium CEO. In Bell's, we see a like-minded group of people dedicated to making the world's best beer, doing business in a way that improves the well-being of the people who power our success. Joining together will immediately strengthen our ability to serve and expand the craft community, deliver more value for our partners, and continue to redefine how business is done in a world facing historic economic, social, and environmental challenges. This is what I'm curious about, because craft beer was like, I mean, there's a vibe about it, right? It's very local. It's this, you know, it's almost like grunge rock. You're the outsider. You're the rebellious. Well, now that these are getting so big that they sort of, do we see a shift away from this? I mean, does it hurt these guys at all by saying, yeah, these guys are, I mean, they're right there with Anheuser-Busch and Coors. Do you see that playing a role at all? We'll start first with you, Doc.
Oh, my. I figured you'd start with me first on this. I don't know. I have mixed feelings and still kind of need to digest it all. To me, there's something that's lost when a local brewery becomes a regional brewery. That the grunge that you talk about, or their mission or vision, starts to become clouded by commercialization. Not that it's a bad thing; it just changes how they do things. So the feeling that you get is not as, you know, single person vibe as it is company vibe, and to me that just changes it just a little bit, so it doesn't feel as authentic as it was. It probably still is quite authentic, it just doesn't have that same feel. So when you move to a bigger and bigger and bigger brewery, it's probably harder and harder and harder to have that kind of vibe. And so then your mission vision changes as you move.
Yeah. Chad, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think New Belgium, both Bell's and New Belgium, being in the business for 30-plus years each, that, you know, they've been, you know, New Belgium's pushing 1 million barrels a year. You know, I think that their small town or small brewery vibes been long gone.
It was gone long ago. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So. And
now they're going from regional to national.
And well, then, and I think New Belgium's been that way for quite a while when they built their North Carolina facility. And you mentioned there's a Denver and somewhere else.
Yeah, San Francisco.
And that's probably part of the when they got purchased in 2019. You know, I
could turn a small group off, maybe.
It could, but I don't think it's going to hurt them much. No. I mean,
yeah.
we've seen several breweries that's been bought out by AB InBev, and you know that hasn't hurt their sales much.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just helped their sales.
It's helped them, you know, with distribution and more exposure and ad power.
Yeah, Graham, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've definitely moved out of the local marketplace in many ways. But, I mean, New Belgium is a good example of being savvy and still trying to keep Tour de Fat going and keeping their local, you know,
roots, connections tied
in. But they are the big boys now. They're not really in the craft zone anymore. They're still making fantastic beers. I mean, I was in the tap room for the first time in about 6 months last week. Still cracking out some interesting beers, but do people still have that warm and fuzzy feeling about them? We'll have to wait and see. They're going to have to do a lot of investment to make sure that they still keep the locals involved. But you know, when Fort Collins has got 23 other craft breweries, it's going to be a difficult fight. But you know, they still knock out a good sour. They still do a few things. Funnily enough, I had a six pack of Two Hearted from Bell's just the other day because I'd had one for ages, and it's still great beer. But yeah, they're definitely in a different league now, and they're going to, I think you'll start seeing them acting in a different way as well.
Yeah, and that's how I was kind of saying it too, like the craft industry was, you know, sort of like, as Tanner mentioned, sort of that grunge kind of rock kind of feel that you had, the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
And now, as long as your warm and fuzzies can grow with the companies, then you know, larger regional and national breweries can still get the warm and fuzzies by going to visit them.
Right, and I think...
Well, even eventually grunge went mainstream.
Right.
Exactly.
So. Right, and I think that Bell's has to feel pretty good about this because the purchasing company, I think they did a good job with New Belgium. I think that they did a good job of, like you said, keeping those local roots in and still buying into what made it successful. And on the business side of things, why would you want to come in and overhaul anything? The reason you want to purchase it is because, well, they're doing a good job.
Doing well, yeah.
They're doing a good job. So that's why you come in and buy it. Again, we're talking about the merger between Bell's and New Belgium as that happening just today. It was announced. To your point, Chad, they do say Bell's plans to expand on environmental sustainability and workplace inclusivity initiatives. According to the announcement, the brewery committed to achieving 100% carbon neutrality by 2030, attaining certified B Corporation status, dedicating $1 per barrel to philanthropy, and scoring 100% on the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index. So that, to me, you know, that's where corporations... I don't want to say they're being forced, but that's something that just as you get bigger, that's something you have. I mean, you've got to make a statement about that because as you start to get bigger, more eyes are on you on how you're handling things of that nature.
Well, that's always been one of the unique points of New Belgium. They, from the very beginning, even before they were one of the big players, they were really focused on, you know, the zero carbon, the, you know, clean water, the...
Yeah,
philanthropy. Uh-huh. You know, that's always been a part of their business model.
Yeah, I've decided to go in the completely opposite direction. I'm punching dolphins in the face. I've just ripped out my catalytic converter. You know, but no, they do a good job. They actually do. You actually can see it. You know, around the location.
Yeah,
but trust me, dolphins deserve it.
I was gonna say, I want to see. Did you get a video of yourself punching a dolphin in the face? Or
yeah, YouTube took it down within minutes.
That's crazy. I want to see that.
I've always heard dolphins are jerks.
They actually are. If you
it's
do some research on it.
The smug smile that really annoys me.
Right. Graham's just throwing its plastic at sea turtles and stuff like that. Yeah. I see that.
I put two rings on every six pack.
For you.
Yeah.
Apparently that was just a partying tortoise. You know, he'd just come out of the nightclub and he had a straw on his nose. It's weird.
I'm sure that McClellan's is going to be happy about that PR statement, by the way. Okay.
We've got many people with placards.
Yeah. We need to put a disclaimer that was a joke. Graham Hurstwood doesn't actually punch dolphins in the face that I know of. There you go.
No.
Okay. And just to kind of cap this off, there are currently no plans to change Bell's lineup of beer. So that two-hearted IPA that we talked about, other staples like that will be there. Bell's is currently distributing to 43 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Bell's currently employs 550 people. What also is pretty cool, there's a couple of key members, even though Larry Bell has a requirement that he has to do. Larry Bell's stepping into retirement.
His requirement for retirement.
Yeah, his requirement for retirement, absolutely. There's a couple of key members of Bell's that's going to be in that leadership group still, too. That's important to get along there as well. So overall, good move, bad move, Chad?
I think it's probably a good move for Bell's.
Doc?
Yeah, definitely a great move for Bell's.
Graham, how about you?
I'm going to wait and see. To be honest, I'm kind of on the fence about this one. They're both good in their own zones. They're now going to be national, almost international. So we'll see. I hope it goes well for New Belgium, to be honest, because I like those guys. Bell's is definitely a good move for them because they get access to a lot of new markets.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's the big beer news from today. Our thoughts on it, where it's going to go. And honestly, my big takeaway is that Graham punches dolphins in the face. That is my big takeaway from
Not
this.
Just the face, though.
Oh, you punch them anyway. Yeah. Sometimes you got to loosen them up with the body shots and then go for it?
Yeah, so their little flippers come down.
So they don't have the flippers covering their face.
Wipe that smile off their face.
Yeah, that's right.
Just asking for it, you know?
Just put one thumb in the blowhole. They'll go unconscious immediately.
Never know what the hell you're going to get here. It's Brew Talk Radio. When we come back on the other side, we'll get into Beer 30. I think that's the plan. You never know what you're going to get here. It's Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Don't go anywhere.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Brew Talk here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm Tanner Schwint. Thanks for spending Wednesday evening with us here. We are in, what time is it, Chad?
I believe it's Beer 30, Tanner.
It is Beer 30. I'm joined by Chad Young with the Tavern, Graham Hurst with the head brewer at McClellan's Brewing Company, and, of course, Doc Mosier with Rule 105 Brewing. Chad, you brought the beer in this week. What do we got here?
So this is Odell's Winter Seasonal Isolation Ale. On the can, it says, here, Colorado summers are barely over before our eyes are start searching for the first fall flakes and for the return of isolation. A smooth caramel malty ale balanced by subtle crisp hop finish. Ringing in at 6%, so it's kind of an easy, a little more sessionable than the
10% one.
about,
well, this is highly sessionable winter warmer.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what are our initial thoughts here, guys? The nose on this one, and I believe I've had this a couple times, so I'm excited to try it again here.
This was the first one I've seen in stores so far, so that's kind of why I grabbed
it. Right. What are your first initial thoughts on this beer?
Yeah, it's nice. It's sweet. It's a warm beer. There's just a little hint of sulfur in the nose, I noticed.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really take away from the beer. But yeah, it's lovely. It's a beautiful amber color. It's nice and bright. Yeah, I would have a couple of these cans. I was there actually the same day I visited New Belgium. I was there as well, and they had just cracked this open on draft. So you get in draft as well. It's a good beer in draft.
Better draft.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's one of these ones that's, you know, it's supposed to be all winter, but fresh is best for this one.
Yeah. And this one on draft doesn't have the sulfur nose.
I didn't notice on that. No.
Yeah.
Because I noticed it on this one big time. Mm.
Yeah. Remember, we're rating this beer. 8 and above is BrewTalk approved. It's got to be the average of all four of us sitting in here. Anything below, we're rating it on the nose, the appearance, the taste, obviously. And then would we buy this beer again? And the can artwork we do throw in there as well. Odell's does a good job with their can artwork, I think. I think this is a pretty cool one to balance the light purple with the I call it black coloring there. I think the can's pretty good itself.
Yeah, it's got a cabin off in the woods and the mountains and the snow and very wintry scene.
Goes right along with the name. It sets it up well. So, Doc, you were talking about that sulfur nose a little bit more on there. Do you get any of that when you start to drink it?
I don't taste it when I drink it as much, although it does kind of have kind of a very sulfate-y malt forward kind of flavor. So it's the hops are kind of overpowering some of the malt forwardness that I might have wanted in this particular beer, if that makes sense. And the nose to me initially was a little off-putting, but the more you've let it breathe, you know, that goes away. So I'm back to where I'm now just starting to enjoy it pretty well. It is very malt forward, but the malt is a drier malt rather than a sweeter malt, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
am I explaining it right?
It's a very dry finish.
Dry finish, even though it's malt forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. Chad, what are your thoughts?
I used to drink this a lot, and this is tasting very different to me year for some reason. And I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know if they've changed the recipe, which I can't imagine they would do because it's a fairly well-known.
Yeah, it's one of their old ones. Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the can purpler than usual.
It might be. It's a different shade of purple.
It is.
I don't know.
That could have a big impact on what the beer tastes like. Are you noticing, Graham? I'm sure you've had this beer before too. Are you noticing a difference in it?
It's the sulfur thing hit me definitely fast, and I'm wondering if they maybe rushed through certain processes prior to canning. Maybe the diastole rest maybe just needed a half a day longer. But, it's definitely, I think the difference is, I think they may have changed the hop bill slightly. But it is sweeter than I recall, not from the last time I had it, but from previous years. But everyone tweaks their recipes every so often, so perhaps that's...
Well, and you also have to remember, too, that one particular hop that you're using one year is not going to be exactly the same the next year.
And the terroir is important as well. If they got it from a different location, it could change.
So even though you thought you were using the same hop, you could end up with a different flavor.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's dramatically different from what I've tasted of this beer before.
I'm torn here. That's why I'm going to crack another one open here. I gotta have a little more research, you know. Drinking beer.
And we could have just had a bad can, too.
It could be, or it could be a bad six-pack.
I think we need a couple more six-packs to explore
let's go find detail. We'll find it on tap somewhere and see the...
Yeah, we'll have to go find it in draft and see if there's...
Yeah.
I don't get the nose on it nearly as bad with that other can. I don't know, maybe I'm making things up in my head, too. That could happen.
We'll give it a try here, see what happens.
No, I agree with you. It's not there.
It's still there just a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
You still getting it?
There's still a little bit of sulfur there. Definitely not as pronounced as the previous one, but...
It's not nearly as strong as what it was.
End of a run.
What's that?
Could have been the end of a run or beginning of a run.
Could have been.
Whenever it gets quiet here, we're
we're about ready to say the word interesting.
Yes. No, I think what I'm reading in the room right now is that this is a little underwhelming from what we thought maybe we were going to be getting. I'm taking words out of their mouths, so I don't know if that's... It is for me. It's a little underwhelming from what I was expecting.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, but you took the words out of my mouth. So I don't know what I'm going to say now.
I'm just going to say interesting.
Interesting.
This is not a bad beer. Don't get me wrong.
No, I would.
And even the beer that I remember is not a bad beer. So this is a. It's a very drinkable. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't want another one after this one. There's just a little tinge to it that makes you think, huh.
And we've talked about this. I don't know if this is just something personal. A little bit of that, I say copper flavoring a little bit in there. I don't know. I think this is just my palate that picks up something like that really strong. But it almost feels like you're biting down on a penny a little bit when I have this beer. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just a subtle bit of it, and I'm not smart enough to know what it is that might cause that, but that's what I'm getting right now.
Well, it could just be that we have a better beer on the table, and we just want to go back to it instead.
None of them can see the brown paper envelopes I'm handing over to you, right?
Yeah.
But there's a slight metallic hint to it, and copper is a good description of it. You know, it's like a little lick of a penny, and that could be tied in with the sulfur one. If some sulfur compounds are still in there, it can
create
a metallic taste. It's definitely not oxidized, so that sometimes you get metal flavor as well, but it's definitely not. So it's not something that happened in packaging. I think it was, unfortunately, a little bit further back in the line of what happened there.
Huh. Well, it's interesting. Are you guys ready to give it a rating?
I could give it a rating.
You guys ready? All right. Remember, 8 and above is BrewTalk approved. I'll go first on this one. This is the Isolation Ale from Odell's Brewing Company. Can-wise, high marks. I like the can on that. I'm a pretty simple guy. I like what they did there. The look of the beer, I mean, it's pretty solid as well. The nose gets docked a little bit for that sulfur smell that we talked about. The taste of it, going to get docked as well. I don't think I would buy this again. I really don't. And I'm going to say that based on the fact that I know there's better styles of beer out there, or better beers within this style, I guess is the better way to say this. For that, all those reasons, I am going to give it a 6.8. I'm going to go with a 6.8 on this beer. Chad?
I'm a little higher to 7. I will buy it again, and I'll probably finish the 6-pack just because nobody wants to waste a beer. But, you know, I'm going to give it another chance. I don't think one batch or one 6-pack of beer is going to turn me off of it. I'll try it again and give it a few other chances and see what happens.
Doc.
So I'm going to go with that kind of viewpoint as well. The fact that we're going, but I'd like to try this one again just to make sure, means that we see something in it that is pretty good. Did something bad happen to this 6-pack? Did it get run over by the semi that delivered it? Was it dumped into the boiling pot of water before it got delivered? Things like that are things that you're thinking of, that there's something that's really good about this beer. I actually wouldn't mind having another one or two of this particular flavor and of this particular style. So I'm actually going to go a little higher than that. I'm going to give it an 8.
All right. Graham, how about you?
Unfortunately, the sulfur on the nose kind of put me off. The can design's great, you know, it's Odell straight away, and they're always good, solid beers. But I have to say, it's a 5. I would drink it again, but it's straight down the middle.
Out of 275, so that's very low.
I know the guys there, they do solid beers, but unfortunately, the sulfur compound and the slight metallic hint just put me off a little bit too much.
I agree. I don't even need to do the math on that. The average here is not going to make it. The Isolation Ale from Odell's Brewing is not BrewTalk approved.
Come on, man.
I thought that I had high expectations for this, and it...
Well, that's why I'm thinking, too, because...
Underwhelmed.
I know what it's like in other realms, and so that makes me think, something's not right. Maybe I'll give it another try. And I actually am starting to get used to and not really noticing the sulfury anymore. And so I'll take another one.
You're the type of person that ignores a lot of red flags with the people that you start dating, aren't you? Like, I can get used to that. Sure.
I can get used to her carrying an axe.
It's not worth talking about.
Ring, the earring, you know, Sorry. Never mind. It's a bad joke. Let's just carry on because you keep the words at least I didn't get retirement mixed up this whole time.
Exactly. Just because you got it, you don't have to bring my old bad one up.
It's called deflection.
Okay, yeah. You're very good at it. Very good at it. Yeah, no, that's underwhelming for me. Did not enjoy that. Not Brew Talk approved again. Isolation Ale. These guys would try it again. I'm going to take a pass on this year. So if you're looking for those winter type of beers, those winter warmers, my opinion, stay away. Not Brew Talk approved from us. But, I mean, this is no discredit to Odell. We all know that they got to where they're at because of the great beer that they brew. But that is our Beer 30 there. All right, let's get a break. When we come back on the other side, we will wrap up this edition of Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. We'll be right back.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just a couple of minutes left here on Brew Talk on this Wednesday evening. I'm Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Graham Hurstwood, the head brewer at McClellan's Brewing Company, Dr. Mosier, Rule 105, and Chad Young, the tavern at St. Michael Square. Guys, informative show. Well done. I like it.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Hopefully you loved my ratings,
too. We learned what retirement was.
And just to let you know, it may have been informative, but I made everything up I said. So.
Yeah, we could have got out of here without you telling that, and then nobody would have known.
If you fact check it, you're all screwed.
My eighth grade social studies teacher taught me something very important, and it was if you say anything with confidence, people will believe you. And I followed that all the way to being a sales manager at a radio station, so that took me there. Graham, thank you so much for coming in, my friend. What do you guys got going on over at McClellan's?
Oh, well, you've tried some of the new beer that's about to come out, which is a lot of fun. I love making big, strong, punchy beer, so that's good fun.
Well, you're very good at it, too, so it works well.
Well, yeah, it stops the shaky hands. But we've also got a honey brown ale coming out soon, hopefully. We're going to bring some back, also classics. We also, one of the locals said I could make an American IPA if I tried, so I did. And I've also got that in cask as well, so that's kind of good fun. So that's good. Yeah, that's worth trying.
Yeah, that'll be good. Is the Reuben still as good as it always has been over there?
Oh, yeah, I had one today, actually.
Yeah. Did you?
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, if you haven't checked out McClellan's yet, you need to get over there. Yeah, he's receiving his awards about a year later, but better late than never, right?
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. Thank you for owning up to the mistakes. I've been on him for a year to get this done, Graham, so I apologize.
Well, you have to actually come and get it myself.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. We got the best end of this deal because you brought the beer too with us. We didn't have to go see you, and you brought the beer.
Yeah, well, I always bring bribes with me. It's being European.
Graham, thanks so much, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
It was my pleasure. Great fun. Thanks.
Doc, Chad, any final thoughts?
Yay, beer.
Yay, beer. Well, that's a good one. And interesting.
There you go. You heard it from the two talkative guys co-hosting a radio show. I am Tanner Schwinn. This has been Brew Talk Radio. Thanks for everybody for playing along. Safe travels out there. Thanks to Ryan Kelly as well. We will talk to you next week. Cheers.